Hello. The tribe has gathered. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 71. And there are some in the back if you didn't bring one in. Tonight we're going to sing. I'm sorry. Perhaps you didn't hear me. Tonight we're going to sing. And we may even have some brothers from another mother who will be joining us for some singing. But before we do that, I'd like to simply ask the question, why do we sing? And so before we get to the singing, I want to explore just for a few moments with you, why do we sing? If you're a part of a church or some sort of Jesus community and you gather on a regular basis, I imagine you probably sing. Here at Mars Hill, every week we spend a significant portion of time and we sing. Why? What is it? What is it just, hey, it feels good, or is there some larger thing that we're taking part in? If you're joining us for the first time, or maybe you just got dragged by a friend who said, you got to come with me. Maybe the last time you were here, you were shopping. Or it was the RV show or the bait and tackle expo, whatever it was. We're this group of people who take very seriously Jesus' call to be a certain kind of people in the world. And so we believe with great passion that God has not abandoned or given up on the world, but that God has begun a giant rescue, restoration work through this Jesus. We believe that this Jesus conquered death and left an open tomb and is inviting people to take part in the restoration and the reclaiming of all things. And we believe that this universe-wide movement, this thing God is doing, starts with each of us. We believe God wants to put each of us back together because God wants to put everything back together. Because when God made the world, God said, it's good. And so for us, this story, we see first and foremost in the Scriptures. And so when we gather, generally the first thing we do is we read from the Scriptures and we ask the question, what's going on in the story? What can we learn so that we can take it and live it out? Are you with me? And so tonight I want to just read one short passage of Scripture, make a couple comments based on the question, why do we sing? And then, in case I wasn't clear, and then we're going to sing. So, man, oh man, caffeine everywhere. That's beautiful. Psalm 71, verse 23. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have redeemed. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have redeemed. Now sometimes we sing, I would say sometimes we sing because we feel like it. God is good. Everything's great. Look what's happening here. Look what's happening here. And joy and peace are not foreign ideas to us. We hold them right here. And so we sing because we feel like it. And we can't wait to sing. And we've got a song in us. And we can't wait to join with other people to sing praise or adoration or words of awe to this God who we love and who is giving us the best kind of life. But sometimes we don't feel like it. And sometimes we sing not because we feel like it. Sometimes we sing because if we sing, we might actually start to feel like it. Sometimes singing isn't just a spontaneous response to how good things are. Sometimes we sing because we need to sing. And if we start singing, we may find ourselves getting to the point where we feel like it. There's something very subtle going on. And one of the ways, as you wrestle with this passage, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. One of the ways you could read it or discuss it would be to say the person is saying, I'm going to shout for joy when I sing praise. I'm going to discipline myself to praise God. I'm going to find something good to sing to God about. And in the process of that discipline, I just might find myself shouting for joy. Sometimes we sing just because we can't help it. Other times, we know that if we don't sing, we're going to sink farther and farther into something, despair, hopelessness. I remember one Sunday a couple of years ago, coming here to Mars Hill on a Sunday, and I was at that time, somebody that I love very, very much was in an epic, you could say, life and death struggle with hard drugs, and their addiction was slowly sucking the life right out of them. And I was walking with them through this, and my heart was literally caving in. Like, God, this kind of pain to watch this person I love struggling like this. I don't know how long I can hold on like this. And somewhere in the course of the service that day, we sang this hymn, "This Is My Father's World." And we got to this line, "Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad." And I thought I was going to just collapse into a pile on the floor. It was like God just said, hey, I'm in charge of the universe. They're going to be okay. I didn't really want to sing that day. And it was a random line from a song that I found out wasn't a random line. It grabbed me. How many of you have had a moment in worship where you found yourself singing something and it was as if God spoke to you? Okay, here's what's going on. Now, how many of you know exactly that feeling? When sometimes we don't feel like it. And so we sing so that we might start to feel like it. Because there's something profound going on when people gather to sing praise to God. There's something profound going on between the person who's leading the worship and the people who are following. Next slide. I would say this. We sing because we need to put great words on our lips. This is what a worship leader does. This isn't just nice songs that you can tap to and hum to. And if you just sing the chorus long enough, eventually God will show up. No. A great worship leader has this divine, sacred responsibility to put words on the lips of the gathered group. And if you're like me, I'm surrounded by cynicism, oftentimes despair. The world I live in, often people with no compass. And what I need and what we all need are people who can put great words on our lips. There's this song we sing on a regular basis around here. "Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed." Is that person throwing it down or what? How many of you get partway through the first verse and you're like, "I'm in. Let's go. Wherever we're going." It's like this giant bass note. Certain songs, they put great things on our lips. And in a culture where everything is faster and faster and more temporary, where everything that's in now will be out in a couple weeks or a couple of months, we need to have great things, things that always have been true, things that are true, and things that always will be true. We need anchors. We need people who can put great words on our lip, because it might just shape the kinds of things that we're going to say. Now, the church fathers and church mothers had a way of understanding what happens when you put great words on your lips. And they had this concept, especially in days, especially 500, 600, 700 years ago. We all know what a cathedral of brick and glass and stone is like. Maybe you've been in Europe, or you've been even, there's some magnificent crafted churches in Grand Rapids alone where you walk in and it's just, and you look up and up and up and up. Or if you've been in Rome, St. Peter's Basilica, I mean, the ceiling just goes up forever, and you just, the glass and the stone and the tile on the floor, it just takes your breath away. How many of you ever walked into a building and just one step in and your breath was taken away like this? It's, oh, whoa. And the church fathers and church mothers said, great song, the liturgy, which would be the spoken call and response or singing, the liturgy, the things that we do as a community when we gather, are like cathedrals of words and sounds. And so there is a sense in which you can walk into a physical building and you can enter into it and appreciate its beauty a day later, a month later, 10 years later, and you can look around and see things you didn't see before. In the same way, a great song, a great liturgy, is like a cathedral of sounds and words. You enter into it. How many of you have ever been caught up in a worship experience and you literally found yourself in a song that means something so profound to you, and every time you sing it, it takes you back, it takes you someplace else. A song, a great song. Some of you have, you're frequently played on your iPod list, and what is it? It's those songs that sometimes you need to get you through the day. What is it? I need to go back into that cathedral. I need to go back into that space. I need to be reminded of the beauty of that. I need promptings that will point me back to my center. There's this song that we often sing based on the Nicene Creed. We believe and worship the Spirit, holy and glorified, who will raise this church forgiven. Now, one of the things I'm really grateful is how perfect Mars Hill is. And all the people at Mars Hill are perfect. And it's amazing in the life of this church. For 7 years, we've gotten along perfectly. It's just been great. By the way, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'd ruin it. But there's this thing to be part of a church. There's a great writer, Henry Nouwen, who just said to be a part of a church is to learn how to forgive and be forgiven over and over and over again. Sometimes the church breaks your heart. Sometimes followers of Jesus don't live like followers of Jesus. Sometimes we do things to each other and we deeply wound and harm each other. And for me, and being a part of a church and believing passionately that a group of people who are embodying Jesus really can change the world, that takes some blows on a regular basis. On a regular basis, I find myself, God, please remind me again that this labor and this effort is worth it. And there is this song that we sing based on the Nicene Creed. Every time we get to that line, holy and glorified, who will raise this church forgiven. I get Oprah'd every time we sing that line. I just get a little like allergies kick in. I don't know what it is. What is it? It's a cathedral. I step in to those words which have been sung and spoken by our brothers and sisters for thousands of years. These words have given hope to people of faith. What's so powerful? It's this reassurance. God has plans for His church. She's His bride. She's beautiful. She's going to make it. She's worth it. Are you with me? And so a song starts to take on. It's a cathedral of word and sound. You enter in and it's beautiful and it's inspiring and it reminds you why you do what you do. It reminds you why you're here. It reminds you who's on the throne. Another thing, why do we sing? We sing because some things are so true, they can only be adequately captured with poetry. Some things are so true, if you try to talk about them in very linear, kind of didactic language, you just can't do it. It ruins it. Some things are so true, it's only poetry that can capture them. There's this great song that we sing, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace." Is that a line or what? Whoever this Robert Robinson, Bob, you know when Bob wrote that, he was like, okay, it's a good day. Okay, I'm going golfing because I'm done for the day. That line, that's it. That is so on the money. I wonder if his friends were just like, Bob, seriously, you've got it going on. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. What is it about even the flow of the language? Or the next, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. How many of you come to that line and you're like, that's me. That's me. How many of you, that line? Yep. Mm-hmm, I can relate. Yep. So it's hundreds of years old, and yet it's got a certain soul to it. Prone to leave. Now, what if it had just said, God, I really screw up a lot. Doesn't have the same thing to it. Why is it that large portions of the scripture are poetry? It would be nice if the Bible was God is A, God is B, God is C, God is D, subpoint one, subpoint two, there'll be a test. And instead, what we get are sometimes these long, rambling, flowing poems that go here and go there, probably because sometimes poetry is more connected with our soul. Sometimes when things spend too much time in our brain, they get gunked up. And so we thank God for the passages which are A, B, which just flow very legit. But then it's the poetry. Sometimes we need poetry. Some truths can only be captured in poetry. Or notice this, next to him. This one, for the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. And then the next line, next sentence. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower. This is a Southern writer, by the way. Flower. Flower. Another, by the way, side point. The beauty in poetry is you can just spell things however you want. Flower. Just, it doesn't fit, just make your own word. And go from there. Sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Some things are so beautiful they can only be captured in poetry. I would guarantee some of the songs that have most moved you, they were able to capture truth in some sort of lyrical cadence or meter or fashion that it stuck. And you refer to it because it came in a form. Yes, that's the way you would express that truth. And notice in Psalm 71, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I, whom you have redeemed. My natural bent, I would argue the natural broken sinful bent of every human being, is things naturally have a magnetic pull towards us. We begin to think it's about us. We begin to think our problems are the problems. Our struggles are the struggles. Our heartache is the center of the universe. And one of the beautiful things, you know why we sing? We sing to remind ourselves that there's something really big going on here. And as the writer in Psalms says, you've redeemed me. And so our understanding as followers of Jesus is that this redemption is available to every one of us. This loving trust that Jesus has taken care of everything and that we're okay. We're loved, we're valued exactly as we are by the God who sent his Son to die for us, to rise for us, and to lead us into new life. And so one of the reasons we sing, and I'd argue maybe the reason we sing, is our natural bent is to make everything about us. And one of the reasons why we sing, even when we don't feel like it, is it reminds us that God is up to something in the world. It's not about us. And we get to be a part of it. And so the psalmist says, man, I'm going to shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. Dear God, we're going to sing now. And God, for some of us, we don't feel like it. And so we're going to sing and assume that we'll sing until we feel like it. God, we need some great truths to be put on our lips. God, I can only imagine in a room this size, there are some struggling with despair, with hopelessness, with an ache of the soul. Maybe it's the loss of someone they love. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a breakup. Maybe it's financial strain. And we need some release. We need to have some great words put on our lips. We need to be reminded that you run the universe and we're going to be okay. So God, as we open ourselves to you, as great words are placed on our lips, we sing because we want to, because we love you, because we can imagine nothing we'd rather be doing. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, let's pray. God, thank you for rescuing us, redeeming us, reclaiming us. Thank you for giving us something to sing about. Thank you for being someone we can sing to. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. I first met David in the band a couple years ago. I was speaking somewhere and they were doing music, and we eventually, I think we had our first meal together in Chicago at an IHOP, correct? Yeah. Solid. We were rolling deep that day. And I think, everybody knows Steve Carter? Steve, stand up. Somehow in the course of the meal, I said that Steve Carter could run faster than their van. And late at night, in a parking lot of an IHOP in Chicago, there was a race. And Steve Carter won. So, I have no idea the significance of that, but it's profound. So we could talk about that, but Steve has an announcement before we have a benediction.
Speaking about racing vans in an IHOP parking lot, I was in Rwanda a few years ago. Best segue I could do. And I was in Rwanda, and I met a number of people who had been misplaced, who had to leave their homes because of violence. Somewhere in different countries in Africa, but they were forced to leave. And I have a question for you tonight. If you had to leave your home, your friends, and you had a backpack, and all you could fill up were some certain items, what would you take? What would you bring with you? Because in 4 days, a family of five who has had to move three times because of violence in Africa is moving from a refugee camp in Rwanda to Grand Rapids. And we have been invited as a church to help make that transition as easy and as seamless as possible. And these people are just coming with backpacks. And they're in need of bedding, they're in need of food, they're in need of furniture, they're in need of lamps, they're in need of a ton of stuff. And so my question to you is, will you help? Will you help? Will you help this family of five move to Grand Rapids well? If you are at all interested in this, there's going to be a meeting in room 401. It's the overflow room. It's right out those doors. And you will get to learn how you can actually help. I think of how amazing it might be for D groups, for house churches, for like college dorm roommates, for families to gather and help make this family feel welcome in their new home of Grand Rapids. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And then I think you have a very important announcement as well, don't you? Yeah, come on, you can't don't let me down.
Well, if you guys are anxious to give your offering, there'll be joy boxes at the back of the room. Joy boxes.
Yeah, joy box. That's that word. And on behalf of for you guys, on behalf of all of us, thank you for coming from Texas. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And now, for a word of benediction, my brothers and sisters of the Mars Hill community, to the gathered tribe, may you sing praise to God and find yourself shouting for joy. May you be given something to sing about. And may the peace of God be yours. Peace be with you.